Firstly, we'd like to thank Camp Achenu for sponsoring this VOD. Thank you very much. You gave your 2 cents to have the VOD. Lamaisa, Siyat Nishmaya. I think I got something. But I want to talk about, you know, Be'ez Hashem, the yeshiva is going on a trip tomorrow. And Be'ez Hashem, we're also having a Shabbaton when we come back on Friday, Shabbos in Miami Beach. And I want this VOD to address both of those, but really, Hu Adin, you know, we're already at the end, you know, of the Zman. We're pretty close to Bein Hazmanim, and I think the theme of this VOD also will address that. And if I'll title the VOD, I would say it's entitled My Stories. Now, the my is not necessarily mine. Everyone can make my stories their own. What is my stories about? So basically like this. There's a schmooze I heard from Rabbi Luban years ago. He heard this schmooze from one of the mashpiyim that influenced him. He always talks about him in very high esteem, none other than Rabbi Shaya Kohn. The Ralbag in, I believe, Parshas Vayishlach, talks about Yaakov Avinu meeting up with Esav. And Yaakov is trying to do everything he can to save himself and his family from Esav killing them. So we know about all the classic things Yaakov did, sending presents, davening, getting ready for war. But the Ralbag adds in, there's a couple other steps, not so obvious in the Chumash. One of the things is when Yaakov meets him, Yaakov schmoozes with him a lot, tells him about what's going on in his life, and, you know, talks about things. So the different mafarshim have different pshatim. I think some mafarshim Rashi learns he spoke with him to show him that don't be jealous of me that I got the brachos, nothing happened with me, I'm still a poor guy, so don't be jealous. But the Ralbag learns a different pshat. Why is Yaakov telling Esav about all the troubles that he had in life? So the Ralbag says, that's because when you tell things about your life to other people, it connects you to the other people. And I remember Rabbi Luban giving as a mashal, he says, oh, I always remember Rabbi Henoch would tell us all these like personal stories about his like health issues and the problems going through. And like he said, oh, that was a means of him connecting with us. That's the shmooze I heard years ago. I would ask a simple kash on the shmooze. How in the world does that work? Why? Because Reb Henoch told Rabbi Luban about his surgeries and his health issues. Did that make Rabbi Luban closer to him? How is it that Yaakov telling Esav, like the troubles that he went through in life, now they're closer. Now he's less likely to shoot his head off. What shaykhus? Good kasha, simple kasha. What's the hesber of a shmooze? So I want to answer the kasha with a story. After war. No, it's not my story. It's a story that I heard many times. It's actually one of the most favorite stories of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal, Rosh Shiva of the Mir. And I myself had the source of hearing this from him multiple times. For those who now know the Mir and the area around it, for the most part, around the yeshiva is a yeshiva bocher's dream. You have misada, you have these restaurants, you have, okay, a svarim store, which is called near the Mir, svarim store. You have cleaners, like anything a yeshiva bocher practically need is right there. Barbershops. But there also are a little remnants of what used to be around the mirror. These like random like workshops, right? People doing people like carpenters and people cutting glass. There are these random shops. Mama's right by the mirror. In the olden days, when I was there, they didn't have the Misada and the cleaners and the right by the mirror swarm store. It was just stores like that. Just these shops of these craftsmen, you know, blacksmiths, shoemakers, like nothing special, nothing fancy, you know, just like simple stores. One of the stores was, yeah, it was a shoemaker. One day, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is walking back from giving shir in yeshiva. He's actually walking with Talmidim. And he passes by these alleyways, these stores, where he had a shoemaker. And the shoemaker had some of his shoes that he made in the window. Now, you know, I remember on Avenue J, in Coney Island Avenue, there was a shoemaker. I passed by there 1,000 times. I didn't pay much attention walking and seeing what's in the window. You know, if I want to look at nice shoes, I don't know, maybe Avenue J shoes. But I'm looking by a shoemaker of shoes. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz like stops by the store and starts like staring. Told me, I'm like, well, after he stops and stares, he's like starts crying. All of a sudden you see like tears in his eyes. Told me, I'm like, what is going on? They're just like finished share. They're hawking him. He like stops by this store and like starts crying. Now, maybe you want to tell me it's like it's a ploy to get them to stop hawking. Okay, it's not, you know, it's not the Shver's move, not my move, right? Why is he doing this? And the Talmidim asked Rebbe, what's Rosh Hashiva thinking about? Listen to his answer, it's unbelievable. He said, I'm thinking about the joy that a mother has when she buys that little pair of shoes for the first time for their kid. What? He saw a little pair of shoes, but that reminded him of the experience in life, of the story, of the event, like the happiness a mother gets the first time able to put shoes on a kid, the kid's able to walk. There's a certain simcha, a certain joy of life they have. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was just getting emotional thinking about that moment that he was able to connect with just by walking by the store and seeing those shoes there. And then he said a line, which I remember Nosson Tzvi like harped on. And these feelings you could only experience in this world. Olam Haba, people get rewarded for all the Torah and mitzvahs they did, and I'm sure it's a wonderful experience. But there are certain experiences of life. It's those nice, wonderful, you know, things you get choked up, things you experience in life, which only happen in this world. Chaim Shmulevitz was such a bar hargasha that he was able to like tap into those feelings just by looking at those shoes. When he saw the shoes, he remembers a story probably his wife told him about her feelings, you know, the first time where he saw they got shoes for little Lord Befol Shmulevitz or little Rebitzin Pertsovitz. So that you saw, I think I understand Reb Nosson Tzvi from Chaim Shmulevitz, is that life has these experiences, you had to have been there. You can't describe it other than if you yourself experienced that, you understand, you yourself saw that. There's a certain thing, like you live life, you have that experience, that was amazing. Anytime a person shares a story, what they're really doing is sharing a piece of their life. They had this certain experience. It was like, to them, or whatever the story is, it's a special thing. And when you share that, that itself is a means of connecting. People connect to certain things in this world, certain experiences, and that connection is a very powerful thing. And the Mela, when you are able sometimes, the better the storyteller, the better the connection. When you connect to a story that happened, this happened in my life, but I'm sharing that with you, then you're also somehow able to like tap in to that like feeling, that connection of like, wow, this story happened. It's a very powerful thing. I think the stories are like the biggest raya to how powerful it is. You know, the joke is, you know, a person gives a whole drasha. At the end of the drasha, he tells a story. What do people remember? Stories. Stories have an amazing way to connect people because they're so powerful. It's a part of a person's life. And, you know, that part of a life, you know, if Esav says it over to Yaakov, if Reb Henoch tells over his stories about his surgeries and his hocks and his this, that somehow builds a bond with the person who wasn't even there just because he shared it with him. Alachas kama v'kama, perhaps this could give a little bit of an understanding the power of a person sharing a story with somebody else, sharing an experience with somebody else. When you do something with somebody else, we were in the same bunk in camp. Back in the day, we were in the same class. We both did this. Anytime you do something with somebody else, there's a potential. Okay, sometimes you do something else, it's a bust, you didn't really connect. You might have been at the same place at the same time, but it wasn't really like... But many times, there are a lot of things of life that the connection is from the fact you do something together. Rav Shiva has this whole other shmooze. That's why Yaakov Avinu set the Shvatim down to Mitzrayim to go bring back food, because he felt just the achdus of them doing it together connects them. So usually in yeshiva, what do we spend most of our time doing? Learning. And learning with the chavrusa is that itself makes an amazing connection. I'm looking around the room. There are guys here who really had good chavrusas, really had guys that connected with this here. Like a good chavrusa, that's like, okay, you don't have to learn the rest of your life. Just it's one zman. But forever, you're going to have that bond. Like, we learned. Like, it's something together. But that's not only true when you go through Gemara together. It's also maybe even easier to do when you have an experience together. Right? And what the maila of a trip, the maila of a Shabbos together in a different spot. Yeah, me and him ate together that meal over there, and we slept over there. It just has a means of connecting people, of an experience. You know, I was sitting there last week by the Shal Shuddis, and I was a shtickle embarrassed. Like, the yeshiva spread for Shal Shuddis last week was like, you know, plop a thing of tuna fish and like plop it there. And like my buddy, you know, Shmuel Wasser, like coming to visit. Like, he's probably thinking to himself, yeah, we probably do it a little bit better. Most weeks, I think we do it a little bit better. I don't know. That'll look like a plop plop. Shal Shuddis. So sitting down there having a thing. Like, if you just rate the Shal Shuddis, like the food and the ambiance, it was like. But like, then this, like Rabbi Wasser gets up and says a beautiful speech. I really connected everyone in the room. So that was an experience. It changed the whole, like, you'll forever remember the shmooze until I brought it up. I doubt you're going to remember the tuna fish. It wasn't an icker detail of the story. That wasn't anything spectacular. But you're part of the experience. You hear a speech by someone in that setting. Wow, yeah, it's pretty cool. Not used to hearing him. That's why, yeah, it would be good sometimes we could get different speakers to come speak. You connect with it. Maybe not by the thought. But Be'ez Hashem, like the Shabbos, I could already give a little bit of coming attractions. Friday night, what I think is very exciting about this Shabbos is we were able to nail down two very good speakers who are both very involved in the Kiruv world. One is an alumnus of this yeshiva, Rabbi Eli Rizel, who happened to be having an owning by his house Friday night. And the other is a person probably not as well known to you guys, but hugely successful. There's an major Kiruv organization called Yehudi. And some people might know people who work for them. So the head of this organization is a young guy who Mamish built the organization from scratch. His name is Rabbi Stillerman. So we're having shalosh shows by his house, and he's going to be speaking. So Lemaisa, that's another example of an experience that people can do together. And you hear a speech, you were there, different house, different venue. You remember these things. It's not just something, different venues help jog your memory. Much deeper than that. It gets a different part of your heart. It gets a different part of your life. Like, oh, Taka, I remember that. I remember back in the day in Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim, they took us to the Old City one Shabbos, and we had a shmooze, somewhere in the Rova, right? David Sheik went and gave a shmooze. So I remember that shmooze. I actually remember singing, Ashes Yedid Nefesh right over there. Footsteps from the Koso. Like, the experience captures you. That's the power of life. There are certain things in life, maybe not every time, but there's a lot of things that make an impact. It's something that's going to make the Rosh Hashiva the Mir cry when he walks past and sees shoes. Because that experience of life, and he didn't want to pass up on it. Tamim Mahaki, Bittel Torah. Not Bittel Torah. This is life. I'm not going to get this in Olam Haba. This experience. So Lemaisa, so too, with friends, with guys in yeshiva. We have to chaperein, the trips we could do with Benny. Chaperein, to do things before Rav Nachum Tzvi is a different legend. Right? Guys are here, guys are together. And Be'ezus Hashem, if we realize the opportunities of life, even just to ride a bicycle together with somebody else, I don't know if we're going to tandems, but in a group and in this, we're not just doing things by ourselves, doing something as a group, as a chevra, right? At some points we're hawking. Should we get one house, two houses? No. You got to get one house. You got to all be together. There's one side we were going to get two houses on the deserted island. We have our own little island with two houses. It was a little weird, too weird. Also didn't have a pool, just had like kayaks around it. But anyway, Lemaisa, I think that's what it means, stories. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should all come back with positive, wonderful, uplifting stories from our experiences in the Shabbos and Hu Adin, weekend into Shabbos, and Hu Adin over our Bein HaZmanim. Thank you very much.